Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome back to our Thursday morning shiur at the Young Israel of Woodmere. It's Parshas Bo, and I'm going to begin in a little bit of an unconventional way. On April the 8th, 2007, the Washington Post ran a long feature article by Gene Weingarten in the Sunday magazine called Pearls Before Breakfast. This article won a Pulitzer Prize for journalism. Rarely have I been more intrigued with a story, and I think musicians will be and should be talking about it for decades to come. This is an article on this site called woodpecker.com blogs, but if you Google the story, you'll find it everywhere. On April the 8th, 2007, the Washington Post ran a long feature. The article by Gene Weingarten called Pearls Before Breakfast appeared in the Sunday magazine and won a Pulitzer Prize for journalism. Rarely have I been more intrigued with a story, and I think musicians will be and should be talking about it for decades to come. A summary of it should be included in every music curriculum, and every music student of every style of music should possibly know the story, as well as school children who learn about Paul Revere's ride or the tales of the Pocahontas. They should know this story as well. The author was a writer for the Washington Post, and he convinced classical violinist Joshua Bell. Joshua Bell, footnote, Joshua David Bell was born in December of 1967. He is an American violinist and conductor. He plays the Gibson Stradivarius. So the author of this piece was a writer for the Post, and he convinced classic violinist Joshua Bell, considered to be one of the greatest virtuosos of the era and voted the best classical musician in America, to put on a t-shirt and baseball cap and try being a street musician to find out what would happen. And so during a January morning rush hour in 2007, Bell opened his violin case and opened up and took out his $3.5 million Stradivarius violin. Did you hear what I said? He opened his case in a subway station on a January morning in 2007, and he revealed and took out a $3.5 million violin, the Stradivarius, and he played in the subway station at L'Enfant Plaza in Washington, D.C. Bell was in town anyway, playing a concert at the Library of Congress, and he agreed to participate in this unprecedented social and musical experiment. It was anybody's guess as to what would happen. Would passers-by recognize his genius, his talent, or would they just walk by? Would a crowd obstruct the commuter traffic? How much money would Joshua Bell make? Could hallowed music and high art make a mark, or maybe shine some bright sunshine into the everyday world of commuters in a hurry? A hidden camera documented what happened. For 43 minutes, Joshua Bell played pieces by Bach, Schubert, the Ave Maria, Massenet, and Manuel Pons, I guess great musicians. He opened at 7:51 a.m. on Friday, January 12th, by playing Bach's 14-minute Chasson, C-H-A-C-O-N-N-E, violin partita number 2 in the D minor. Generally considered to be the single greatest solo violin work and one of the greatest musical compositions ever created. It was played on one of the finest instruments the world has ever known, the so-called Gibson ex Huberman Stradivarius, made in 1713, at the peak of the legendary luthier's powers. The subway location was chosen because it was a place where the acoustics were not too bad, and the music would carry reasonably well. Bell even took a taxi 3 blocks from where he was staying to the subway, so that his instrument would not even get slightly cold and affect the quality of the music. The results of Bell's experiment appear to be very conclusive, and no one considers them fuzzy. According to the original article by Weingarten, quote, 3 minutes went by before anything happened. Remember, there was a hidden camera. 3 full minutes went by before anything happened. Where you have this great violinist and conductor, this world famous in the music world virtuoso, playing on a $3.5 million violin, one of the most famous and most beautiful music compositions ever created, in a subway station at 8 a.m. in Washington, D.C. in the winter. And a camera recorded. According to the author, Weingarten, who won a Pulitzer Prize for his work, 3 minutes went by before something happened. 63 people had already passed by when finally there was a breakthrough of sorts. A middle-aged man altered his gait for a split second. He turns his head to notice there seemed to be some guy playing music. And yes, the man then kept walking, but it was something. He acknowledged the music. A half a minute later, Bell got his first donation. A woman threw in a buck and scooted off. It was not until 6 minutes into the performance, 6 minutes, that someone actually stood against the wall and listened to the violinist in a baseball cap and jeans playing in the subway station. Things never got much better during the entire 43-minute performance. In the 3/4 of an hour that Joshua Bell played, seven people, I can't put up my fingers and hold my paper, seven people stopped what they were doing to hang around, take in the performance, at least for a minute. 27 people in 43 minutes gave money, most of them on the run. Joshua Bell made $32 and change. That leaves the 1,070 people who hurried by, completely oblivious, many only 3 feet away, not even turning to look. Of the $32 he made, $20 was from one person who recognized Bell and who had seen him play before, the night before at the Library of Congress. So that means 26 givers among 1,096 commuters. Those 26 givers pitched in a whopping $12, which included a lot of pennies. There was never a crowd, and the fears never materialized that they might need extra security for Joshua Bell playing on a $3.5 million violin. So the moral of the message of the story seems to be, maybe, commuters might have walked by the Mona Lisa also. And you can't expect random people to notice and appreciate great art on their own without some kind of guidance, commentary, or marketing. The museum curator that Weingarten, the author of the piece, interviewed in the article, said the same thing. The museum curator said he could have put a $5 million painting on the street corner and people would have just walked by. The six people who stopped to listen to Bell thought he was good, but when interviewed later, they admitted they didn't realize how good he was. They just liked the music. Lots of people during those 43 minutes stood in line to buy lottery tickets nearby and did not even glance his way. And of course, the music fans with their iPod earbuds missed the whole performance. Would you have noticed? Would I have noticed? Apparently there was one guy, John Piccarello, who really noticed, who spent 9 minutes listening to Bell, realizing how very good he was. Those of us who have played street music, and any who play music for a living, often wonder about this kind of thing, when we feel like we're playing well, but no one seems to be listening. We wonder what is wrong. When people talk through our gigs, we wonder if we are not good enough, or perhaps they are insensitive jerks. Are people somehow unable or unwilling to recognize or even want quality music without the fanfare and the packaging. I have often thought to myself when no one was listening, how good do you have to be for people to listen to you around here? Apparently the answer is nobody is that good. That can't be completely true, since some performers could have pulled a nice crowd that morning at the subway station in Washington, D.C. This famous violinist and conductor, arguably one of the most greatest violinists of our time, playing on a violin that cost $3.5 million. No one took notice of him because he was dressed in jeans and a baseball cap, and he was playing in a subway station. And so his appearance did not lend itself to royalty, to prominence, to art. And so they thought he was just a street musician playing for some money. And so he made $32, 20 of which don't even count, because one person recognized his greatness having heard him the night before. So that means he made $12 from the over 1,000 people who walked by the musician in the baseball cap and the jeans. It's very interesting because 2 nights ago at the dinner table, we were having a conversation with the kids, those who are home for supper. When kids are older, everyone's schedules are off of each other's schedules. But my husband said an interesting comment that I never heard before. We were talking about attire and how people dress to work. Dress down attire are offices that have things much more casual than others. And my husband said, and maybe you've heard this and I never heard it before, there's a saying, you dress for the job you want, not the job you have. So you've obviously heard it because you're not. I guess have other people heard it? Some yes, some no. Okay, I never heard that before. You dress for the job you want, not for the job you have. Had Joshua Bell been dressed as Joshua Bell with a sign as to who he was and how much his violin cost and the music he was playing, had his external appearance matched his performance, surely people would have stopped to listen. This week's parasha is Parshas Bo. In Parshas Bo, we have the great Yetziat Mitzrayim. After hundreds of years in Egypt, the Israelite people finally leave. The 10 plagues, the last three are in this week's parasha, Arba Choshach, Amakos Bechoros, decimate the Egyptian country and people. They bring Pharaoh to his knees. And after the 10th plague, or in the midst of the 10th plague, when Pharaoh is afraid he too will lose his life, he gets up and he runs for Moshe and Aaron in the middle of the night. Kumutsu, get up and get out. In this week's parasha, we also have the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh, which we spoke about last week. And of course, the mitzvah of Korban Pesach. Ooh, 1 second, please. So in regard to the Korban Pesach, which appears in Perek Yud Beis, chapter 12 of the book of Shemos, the psukim tell us, Dabru al kol adas Yisrael leimor, speak to the entire assembly of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, the month of Nisan, everyone should take, each man should take a lamb for his father's house, a lamb for the house. And if there are not enough people to eat the whole lamb, you go to your neighbor and you get together. Everyone, according to what he could eat, should be counted on the Korban Pesach. It should be a pure lamb, a male within its first year. It should be from the sheep or from the goats. And you should guard it until the 14th of this month. And it shall be slaughtered by the entire assembly of Israel in the afternoon. And you should take from the blood, and you should put it on the two mezuzos, the side post of the door, and on the mashkof, the lintel of the homes, where it will be in. Of course, when God sees, so to speak, this blood, he will pass over the Jewish homes where the Korban Pesach is being consumed. The name of the Yom Tov is Pesach. Hashem passed over the homes where the blood was put on the mezuzos and the mashkof. V'achu es habasar b'layla hazeh, you shall eat the meat on this night. Sli esh, it shall be roasted. Umatzos al-mimrorim yochluhu, it shall be eaten with matzah and maror. Do not eat it undercooked. Do not eat it boiled in water. It must be roasted over fire, its head with its legs, with its innards. Veloso siru mimenu ad boker. You should not leave any over until the morning. Whatever is left till the morning must be burnt in fire. How shall you eat it? The kachal tochu oso. So you shall eat it. Masnechem chagurim. Your loins shall be girded. Na'alechem beraglechem. Your shoes on your feet. Umakelchem biyadchem. Your staff in your hand. Va'achaltem oso b'chipazon. What is chipazon? Says Targum Unkus b'behilu. B'behilu yatzanu mimitzrayim. You shall eat it in haste. It is a Pesach to God. Va'avarti b'eretz Mitzrayim b'layla hazah. I will pass through the land of Egypt on this night. V'hikesi kol b'chor. I will smote every firstborn in the land of Egypt, from man to animal. I'm sorry. And amongst the gods of the Egyptians, I will do judgments. Chayim Hashem. And the blood will be a sign on your houses. I will see the blood. U'pasachti pasach alechem. And there will not be a plague amongst you. Later in the same parak, also in parak Yabez, there are further halachos relating to the Karban Pasach. And we are told, parak Yabez, pasuk mem gimel, chapter 12, verse 43. Vayom Hashem Moshe va'aron, and God spoke to Moshe and Aaron, zo chukas ha-pasach, these are the laws of the paschal sacrifice, called ben nechar lo yochel bo, any stranger may not eat of the Korban Pesach. V'chol eved ish miknas kasef, umalta oso, az yochobo. Any slave of a man who is bought by money, after he is circumcised, then he may eat of it. Toshav v'sachir lo yochobo, a resident and hired worker, may not eat of it. V'vayis achar ye ochel, it should be eaten in one house. Lo totzi mina bais mina basar chutza, you may not take out from the house the meat to the outside. The etzem lo tishbrubo. You may not break a bone of the Korban Pesach. What does that mean, you may not break a bone? Rashi says, what kind of bone may not be broken? Hara'ui la'achila. The kind of bone that is worthy for being eaten. What kind of bone is worthy for being eaten? Kigon sheyeshalav kizayis basar. Any bone that has a kizayis, an olive-sized piece of meat upon it, is ra'ui la'achila, worthy for being eaten. And this type of bone may not be broken. Yesh bo mishum shviras etzem. A bone that has a kizayis of meat, says Rashi, quoting the Gemara, is worthy of being eaten, and it may not be broken. Ein alav kizayis basar or mach, if it does not, or moach, if it does not have a kizayis of meat or marrow, ein bo mishum shviras etzem. The law of not breaking the bone does not apply. So when the Torah says you cannot break a bone, it's referring to a bone that you have something to eat on it. There's meat left on the bone. You can't break a bone. Ka adas Yisrael yasu. Also, the entire assembly of Israel shall do it. If a ger lives with you, he should do the Pesach. Vayasu ka b'nei Yisrael kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe ves Aaron kein asu. They did what Moshe and Aaron commanded them. So we see that there are many halachos regarding the consumption of the Korban Pesach. Every person, according to what they may eat, is counted for the lamb. It may be from the sheep or from the goats. It has to be entirely roasted. It can't be boiled. Who cares how it's cooked? It has to be the head with the legs and the innards. Amatzos umerorim yochlu. We are told what attire to eat it in. With your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, eat it in a haste. We are told what to do with the blood of the Korban Pesach. Put it on the mezuzos and put it on the mashkof. We are told who may consume of it and who may not consume of it. Someone doesn't have a besmidah, they may not. The ger must do it in time with all of Klal Yisrael. Don't take the meat out of the house. Don't leave any over till the morning. Anything left over till the morning must be burned. They must all be finished. Don't break a bone. What kind of bone? Any bone that has enough meat for eating. Rav Soloveitchik says, in regard to all of these halachos, and you shall not leave any of it over till the morning. It can't be no sir. The Gemara states, a slave prefers a dissolute life. Both in Masachas Gittin and Ksubos, the Gemara says a slave prefers a dissolute life. He takes as much as he can. Only physical power, such as a policeman or a taskmaster, will stop the slave from amassing, accumulating, hiding for himself as much as he can. This is why the slave cannot marry a free woman. In the Jewish law, a conjugal life is based on the concept of a set of boundaries for the people. All the commandments of sanctity and family life are based on the halachos of boundaries between the couple. This is why betrothal is called kedushin, sanctification. There are boundaries, and a slave does not understand boundaries. A slave only takes as much as he wants. The sages say, Masachas Kedushin, a slave cannot contract a marriage because he behaves in a sense like an animal. He is unable to limit himself without external compulsion. He wants more. He wants to save more. He doesn't understand rules, unfortunately, based on the nature of servitude. He is unable to control himself. So if he has access to food, he will hoard as much as he can. What does this all have to do with the Korban Pesach? The most amazing thing about the Exodus, says Rav Soloveitchik, far greater than the signs and the wonders, is a transformation of a nation of slaves who lived in a boundless state, who did not understand the meaning of laws, who did not understand the meaning of structure. They were turned into a nation who obey laws, even when no taskmaster, no policeman threatens them, they still obey the law. In a different sefer, it's brought down, the Rav thinking a lot on the parsha, a different sefer than what I'm quoting from, there's a famous story. Was it the Kotzker Rebbe? I don't remember which Rebbe it was. It was a time when there was a ban on Turkish shawls. There was a ban on Turkish shawls in whatever country they were living in. So the Rebbe, it was Leil Seder coming. So the Rebbe sent 10 Hasidim to find Turkish shawls. And he sent 10 Hasidim to go find a loaf of bread. And he said, he's not starting the Seder till these 10 come back with Turkish shawls. And these 10 come back with loaves of bread. So after an hour, very quickly, the 10 Hasidim found Turkish shawls. Yes, they were outlawed by the government, but they were on the black market and it was easy to find them. And the 10 Hasidim who were supposed to find bread came back and they said, we looked everywhere. There is no bread to be found. Rav Soloveitchik says, a Jew observes the commandments. He doesn't need a policeman. He doesn't need a taskmaster. He doesn't need the threat of jail. He understands that living a life of structure, of order, of restraint is a mark of freedom. And so bread could not be found because the mitzvah is, do not consume bread on Leil HaPasach. As slaves, we understood only one thing. You must obey the taskmaster. If you do not, he will beat you with his baton. But freedom is a nation who obeys laws when no one stands over us with a whip. And so says Rav Soloveitchik, this is symbolized in all the commandments related to the Korban Pesach. Why should one obey a commandment like matzah, like eating the Korban Pesach, like don't break any of its bones, or do not leave any of it over till the morning, if no taskmaster stands over you? So in the myriad of laws relating to the Korban Pesach, all these structures and what we must do, what we must not do, what we must refrain from, how we shall eat it, represent freedom. We don't hoard, we don't grab, we eat in an orderly fashion. The ability to perform the mitzvahs represents freedom to live with boundaries, to live according to Jewish law. We don't grab the meat, we don't leave over till the morning, we don't take it out of the house. There's no taskmaster standing over us, but it is the ability of a free man to make choices, to listen to the word of God. That's what Rav Soloveitchik says, hashkafically, about the myriad of halachos and mitzvos related to the Korban Pesach. Why did I start the shiur talking about Joshua Bell? When he dressed in a baseball cap and jeans, and he stood in the subway station, no one recognized him. No one knew who he was. No one appreciated his music. And yet the night before on stage, in his tuxedo, when he had to buy a ticket, with the spotlight on him, when everyone knew he was playing on a $3.5 million violin, when he was dressed as royalty, as a violinist, as a conductor, everybody knew who he was. You know, there was a meme going around in the beginning of the pandemic. I don't know if you saw it or not. It was actually very cute. It said, it's 9 p.m., time to change from my day pajamas into my night pajamas. That's when everybody was home and literally was not going out. Sefer HaChinuch, Mitzvah 16, Parshas Bo, Mitzvah Tes Zayim. Shelo lishbar etzem min ha-Pesach. We are forbidden to break a bone from the Korban Pesach. We have quoted Rashi, who quotes the Gemara. If it has a kazayis of meat, the halacha is you can't break that bone, it's worthy of eating. If it doesn't have a kazayis of meat or marrow, you can break the bone. We have quoted Rav Soloveitchik. And to the idea that the ability to restrain ourselves represents freedom. A slave cannot restrain himself, so he cannot marry a woman because he doesn't know restraint. Freedom is represented in restraint. And that's represented in all the mitzvos and halachos of the Korban Pesach. Now let us look at the Sefer HaChinuch. Shelo lishbar etzem min ha-Pesach. It is forbidden to break a bone of the Korban Pesach. And unlike Rashi, who quotes the Gemara, this is, which is totally halachic, which we don't disregard, of course. Of course. This is very hashkafic. Shelo lishbar etzem mikol atzmos ha-Pesach. We're forbidden to break a bone from any of the bones of the Paschal sacrifice. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, 12:46, ve'etzem lo sishbru bo, you may not break a bone of the Korban Pesach. Mishor shei ha-mitzvah, what is the root? What is the precept? Why do we have such a mitzvah? Lizkor nisei Mitzrayim, to remember the miracles. God took us out of Egypt. It was a great miraculous time. Open miracles. Rashi says, by the barad, nes betoch nes. The ice didn't put out the fire. The fire didn't melt the ice. One frog emerged, and little frogs are hopping out of its mouth, and they fill the whole land of Egypt. The whole dust turned to kinim. 6 days of darkness. It was so thick, this week's parsha. People couldn't move during the final 3 days. It was full of nisim. So mishar shei ha-mitzvah zeh. Lizkor nisei Mitzrayim, the root of the mitzvah is to remember the miracles of Egypt. Kemoshe kasavnu b'acheros, like I already wrote, he says. This was written anonymously in the 1300s. Like I already wrote in other places. V'gam ze gizo min hashorash haniskor. This is a branch. This mitzvah, don't break a bone, is a branch of this root to remember the miracles of Egypt. Why? Why can't you break a bone? She'ein kavod libnei malachim. It is not kavodik for the sons of kings. We're royalty. Va'atem tiyuli. We're coming up to Yisro. Perek Yitas. Mamlechas kohanim. We should be a kingdom of priests. V'goy kosh. 1 second. Come in. I'm finished in 15 minutes. And then I'll give you a ride home. You could listen to the end of Shir. Come. Why can't you break a bone? It is not kavodik for the sons of kings, v'yoetzei eretz, and advisors of the earth, we're prominent people. We're Joshua Bell, dressed in our finery, playing on the stage, and everyone knows who we are. We're not a street performer in a baseball cap and jeans. We're a performer in a tuxedo on the greatest stage of earth. It is not kavodik for the sons of kings and the advisors of the earth, ligror ha'atzamos, to scrape the bones, u'leshavram, and to break them, kichalavim, like dogs. Remember, we quote of Salvechuk, he said, the slave is like an animal, we're not insulting anybody, he can't control himself. Any scrap, he's going to break, he's going to suck, like a dog. Lo ye'os lasos kacha, ki'im li'aniye ha'aretz ha'ra'evim. Who behaves in such a fashion? The paupers of the earth, the poor people, the kalavim, the dogs. We're not those people. Va'al kein, and therefore, betchilas bo'enu li'os segulas kol ha'amim, before we became to be the most treasured of all people, mamlachas kohanim va'am kadosh, a kingdom of priests, a holy nation, u'b'chol shana v'shana ba'oso hazman, each and every year of this time, meaning Leah HaSeder, Nisan, we sit down, ra'ui lanu, it's worthy, la'aso ma'isim ha'marim banu ha'mayla ha'gadola. It is worthy to do things that show how great we are. The Ma'ila HaGadola, the high level we ascended to. Sha'alinu la, that we ascended to, ba'oso shah, when we left Egypt, we went from being slaves, uncouth, uncontrolled. We went from being people who could not follow the laws, who could not be mitzamtzeim, contract themselves, to being a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Don't be like dogs, says the Sefer HaChinuch. Don't be like the pauper. Don't be like the street person who breaks the bone and sucks out every single piece of marrow. You're a nation of B'nai Melachim. Amitocha Maisa, and through these actions, the hadimyon and symbolism, sha'anachnu osim, that we do, nikba b'nafsho seinu hadavar la'olam. When you behave a certain way, act a certain way, dress a certain way, that those actions, umitocha ma'isa v'hadimyon, through the actions and the symbolism that we do, nikba b'nafsho seinu hadavar la'olam, the matter becomes implanted in our souls forever. Ba'al tachshov b'ni. Sefer HaChinuch was written because the author felt that the children on Shabbos afternoon didn't have enough to do productively. So he wrote the Sefer HaChinuch, which is commentary on all the 613 mitzvahs, to give the children a Shabbos afternoon activity. Ba'al tachshov b'ni. Do not think, my son, litpos al devarai, to pounce upon my words and to say, v'lama yitzava usanu Hashem yisparach lasos kol eila? God needed to command us to do so many things to remember one miracle. All these halachos, don't take the meat out of the house, don't leave it over, wear it with your shoes, your staff in your hand, so many things he needed to command us. Halo b'zikaron echad, would it not have been enough to give us one remembrance? It would have entered into our minds. V'lo yishakach m'pizarenu, one thing, it wouldn't have been forgotten from our children. So many halachos, so much symbolism, so many actions. Kilo michachma tispiseini alze. Umachshavas hanorah yasiach ledabrakein. It's not from wisdom that you would question like this. This is foolish, useful foolish, youthful thinking if you think this way. Va'ata bini, and now my son, im bina shimazos. Va'hatei aznecha yishma yonatan. And now, my son, with wisdom, listen, Shimazos, listen, Vahate Aznicha, and lend your ear, Ushma. We were just discussing at the Dvar Torah last night that Yehuda says to Yosef, let me speak in the ear of my master with Rashi. So it's interesting, the Sefer HaChinuch says, not only listen, but lend your ear, and really listen, pay attention. Alam Decha Lahoya B'Torah Mitzvos. I'm going to teach you the purpose of Torah Mitzvos. Da, I am sure that either the people in this room or of the Kanei Nahar, 55 participants on Zoom, I thank everyone for joining both in person and on Zoom. I'm sure some of you have heard this before. Ki ha'adam nifal kifi pu'ulosav. Ha'adam nifal kifi pu'ulosav. Man is formed. Man's ways. Man becomes. Man lives up to his actions. V'libo v'chol mechshavusav tamid achar ma'asav. His heart and his thoughts always go after his actions. Shahu oseik b'hem, that he is involved in. Im tov, for the good. Im ra, for the bad. V'afilu rasha gamor b'libo, even if a person considers himself to be a rasha, gamor, a completely wicked person in his heart. V'chol yetzer machshavos libo rak rak koliyam. Paraphrase from the beginning of Bereshis. And he says that all of his inclinations and his thoughts of his hearts are bad all day. Im ye'areh rucho, if he arouses his spirit. V'yasim hishtadluso, and he puts forth his hishtadlus. V'isko behaschmada, and with great diligence he changes his external actions. And he makes himself into a person who acts b'toro v'mitzvos. He acts according to the Torah and according to Torah law. Afilu shalo l'shem shamayim. Even if he's not doing it for the sake of heaven. Miyad. Something inside is going to change. Even if you consider yourself to be a rasha gomer in your heart. And your actions and your thoughts are bad all day. But you live a life where you've decided, you arouse your heart. im ya'ara rucho, he arouses his spirit, I should say, and he does his shtadlus with great hasmada. He applies himself to Torah and mitzvos, even if it doesn't begin l'shem shamayim. Something's going to change. Miyad yunata el hatov. He will turn to the good immediately. Ubekoach ma'asav yamis hayetzer hara. And through the power of his actions, he will put the yetzer hara to death. Ki acharei ha'pu'ulos nimshachim halavavos. Because after one's actions, the heart is drawn. So if you wear a tuxedo and you stand on the stage, what's it called, Carnegie Hall? Is that a good example? Yeah. Or maybe the New York Opera House? Maybe it's a better example. No, opera. He was a violinist. Where did he play the night before? The Library of Congress. In a tuxedo with a spotlight on you on a grand stage. You feel like a performer. And people perceive that you're a performer. And you live up to that title, that image, and you become a performer. And if you put on a baseball cap and jeans, and you stand in the subway station, then people perceive you to be a street music player, and not Joshua Bell. Ki acharei ha-pu'ulos nimshachim halavavos. The afilu, and the opposite is also true. Don't be so overly confident in your righteousness. Al tatzdikarbe, don't think you're such a tzaddik. The afilu imya adam tzaddik gomor, ulevavo yashar v'tamim. Even if a person is completely righteous and his heart is straight and it's pure, chafetz b'torah mitzvos, he desires Torah and mitzvos. Im ula yasuk tamid bidvarim shel dofi dibarnu dofi is one of the things we klap al chayfa. If he is involved in matters that are impure, that are inappropriate. Ki'ilu tomar darach mashal. I'll give you an example, he says. She'ichricho melech uminu bu'umnos ra. The king forced this tzadik gomor into a bad occupation. Ba'emes, truthfully, im kol isko tamid kol yom ba'oso umanus. If his occupation all day is in this bad occupation, even if he started out as a tzadik gomor, Yashuv lizman min azmanim. It might take some time, but after time, he's going to return mitzid kaslibo lios rasha gomer. If you have a person, for example, who's a tzad gomer, and he is forced by the king to live in a base zonos, the king gives him a new occupation. You will live in the house of prostitutes, and every day you will be with different prostitutes, and you will do things in that house that you've never done before, and you will see things in the house you've never seen before. And you will behave in a way you've never behaved before. But after time, Adam nifal kafi pulasav. What's going to happen to that person? It's human nature. We go after our actions. And he's going to become a Rasha Gomor. Ki adua hadavar. This is well known. The emes. And it's the absolute truth. Shall call Adam nifal kafi pulasav. Kamosha amarnu. Man is influenced in accordance with his actions. Why do we have an Indian to wear Shabbos clothing? Lo ye mabushcha shal Shabbos, mabushcha shachol. Mabushcha shachol. We have to dress like B'nai Malachim when we come to greet the king. The Shabbos Malkasa comes to our home and you have to be dressed for her. You feel different when you're dressed differently. It's true. And we are persuaded after, pulled after, influenced by our externality. Does mean we should only have externality in our avodas Hashem? Chas v'shalom. Hashem desires the heart. However, as b'nei melachim and not like dogs, says the Sefer HaChinuch, our external must match the internal and shapes the internal. Someone who's in an environment where the whole day the speech is not appropriate. I had someone who joined my shirim a number of years ago. I still remember who it is. I wouldn't say her name, but I remember who it is. And she said that at the end of every summer, she was a teacher in a public school system, and at the end of every summer, her husband would comment on how improved her language had become over the summer, how much more refined it was, because she was not in an environment where people speak in a certain way. And therefore the sages of blessed memory say, Ratzah hamakom lazakas es Yisrael l'ficha chibril ham Torah mitzvos. God wants to give us chusim, so he gave us so much Torah and mitzvos. K'dei lahat pis bahen kamech shavaseinu. So he would catch our attention, and so we would be busy with mitzvos. Lehei tivlanu ba'achriseinu, to do good for us at the end. Ki mitoch ha'pu'ulos ha'tovos, anachnu nif'alim lehios tovim bezochim l'chaye ad. I'm going to repeat it. Ki mitoch ha'pu'ulos ha'tovos. You know, a student once came to Rav Yosef Tendler, Zatzal, the Manal, Yeshiva Sneri Shoah Baltimore of the Mechina. Every time I mention his name, I say the same thing. He was our Masada Kedushin. We just found the lighting pictures 2 Shabbos ago. We are looking through them. He came to Toronto to marry us. My husband went there to his yeshiva. And in the biography, the Art School biography, it says a Talmud once came to him and said, I don't like my English teacher. What should I do? So he said, you have to like your English teacher. He's a Jew. So the student said, well, Rebbe, I don't like my English teacher. He said, give him gifts. You'll come to like him. If you're not a person of chesed, involve yourself in chesed. You will become a person of chesed. Dress for the job you want, not for the job you have. Act like the person you want to be in Avodas Hashem. Not necessarily the person you are now, but you'll get there. If you put on your violin suit and your tuxedo and you put your name on top, I am Joshua Bell, you will become Joshua Bell. And the rabbis gave us a remez to this when they said, call me she'eshlo mezuzah bepischo, anyone who has a mezuzah at his entrance, v'tzitzis bevigdo, and tzitzis on his garments, utfilim beroshah, if you have a mezuzah on your door, and you have tzitzis on your body, and tefillin on your head, move tachlo shalo yachta. It's absurd. You won't sin. Why? Lefisha elo mitzvos tmidios. These are constant, tamid, consistent mitzvos. V'nifo behen tamid, and you will constantly be affected. Lachain, ata re'e gam re'e. See, you shall surely see, my son. Ma melachtecha. What work are you involved in? What do you do during the day? V'iskecha. What are you busy with? Ki achareihem timasheich. Because what you're busy with, you will become. What are we busy with? Well, the people here, Baruch Hashem, right now are busy with Torah. Who do we associate with? What are our actions? That's who we will become. Va'at olotim shachim. You won't pull them after you. You'll be pulled after them. Va'al yavtichecha yetzircha. Lomar, don't let your yetzer hara convince you. Acheri heos libi sholem v'tamim be'amunas Hashem. Don't worry. My heart is so pure and sholem. Complete and pure. I have so much emunah in God. Ma hefseid yesh. Ki asaneg lefamim. What's the big deal if I enjoy life a little bit? I'll go sit on the street corner. I'm going to sit in the shuk. I'm going to sit in the street. Why can't I sit with the scoffers? I make jokes with them. Why can't I make jokes? Why can't I talk? Why can't I be sarcastic? I'm such a good person. I have so much emunah. What's the big deal if I go sit in the shuk? If I joke with the jokers and scoff with the scoffers, it won't affect me. Don't say these things. I have to skip a little. Albany, no, my son. Hishomer mipneihem. Penti lachei berishtam. Be very careful, because you will become ensnared in that trap. Rabim shasu mitoch kos tar elesa. Many have drunk from this cup of poison. Va'ata es nafshecha tatzil. Save your soul. If you dress a certain way, after long enough, you'll become that person, for good or not for good. Dress for the job you want. Dress to be the Jew you want to be, not the one you are. always reach for a higher level. Could we imagine to go see the Gadol Dor, the Rav HaRashi, the Rishon LeZion? The Rishon LeZion dresses like the Rishon LeZion. Why? Yes, it's a position of cover. Yes, he demands respect of others. But Adam nifal kefi pulosav. You become the person you act like, you talk like, you dress like, you eat like, you associate with others. You will become that person. And the person playing violin in the baseball cap and jeans is not the same person on the stage of the Library of Congress. And people recognize the difference, and soon we will come to recognize the difference if we are not careful. The hafach is also true if we surround ourselves in a positive environment. Rabbanim who bring us up, who lead us, who guide us. Friends who are positive influences upon us. If we behave in that fashion, we will be brought up. And after I've explained this to you, you shouldn't wonder but why we have so many mitzvos regarding remembering the miracles of Egypt. Shehein amud gadol b'torateinu. They are a great pillar in our Torah. Ki birvos iskeinu bahem. Because by being involved in so many mitzvos that represent freedom, like the Rav said, you will become the person you want to be. Ki birvot iskeinu bahem. Through being involved so much in them, nitpa'el el hadavar, we will be affected by the manner. If you want to know the dinei ha-mitzvos, you have to look it up in the Gemara. He ends with the Maseches Pesachim. Who is this Nohageswin? Zichar Mubin Kevos, Bizman Abais. This is a mitzvah on both men and women, in the time that the Beis HaMikdash stands. The over Allaha, and someone who's over, Bishavar Etzim B'Pesach Tahar Loka. Someone who's over on this mitzvah and he breaks the bone taka, the bone that he's not allowed to break, he gets Malkos. Adam Nifal Kefi Pulosav. So we don't feel particularly like tzaddikim or tzidkanios. And if you're struggling, and if you find things difficult, if you surround yourself, immerse yourself in the environment with the right people, and you dress for the job that you want, you will become that person. You live in a community where we have rabbanim and teachers, where our friends bring us up, we will be brought up. And if we say, what's the big deal? I could sit in the street corner. I could go to the shuk. I could go in the rechav. I want to be late sometimes too. You think I should never have any enjoyment in my life? You're going to become a late. Ashrei ha'ish shelo halach ba'atzas v'sha'im. V'derech hata'im lo amad. V'moshav leitzim lo yashav. The six people who stopped to listen to Bell just thought he was good. But when interviewed later, they admitted they didn't realize how good. They just liked it. Lots of people stood in line to buy a lottery ticket. They did not even glance his way. And of course, the music fans, with their iPod earbuds, missed everything. Would you have noticed Joshua Bell? Would I have noticed Joshua Bell? And I've often thought to myself, how good do you have to be for people to listen around here? If we're struggling, and sometimes we all struggle because we're human beings, and it's our nature, we're not malachim. If you stick to the tmidios of Torah and mitzvos, you will become a person of Torah and mitzvos. And we will mamash rise up from that 49th level of impurity to stand by Ma'amad Har Sinai. Atem tiyuli memlechas kohanim v'goy kadosh. The Am Segula and the mitzvot shape us, they refine us, they form us. Ki ha'adam nif'al achar pu'ulasav. I wish you all a wonderful Shabbos, a day besuras tovus, and be'ezrat Hashem, we will continue next week. Thank you so much, everybody in person, and